like to talk about spiritual blessings, and kind of the outline of the lesson, a quick outline, is going to be, as far as the study goes, we're going to look at, list some of those spiritual blessings, what I believe to be the core of you and I, and what we believe in as far as spiritual blessings. I'm not going to get into all the physical blessings we receive daily, which are many. You know, you think about blessings, the things that God has given us to have the physical life that we have, we are certainly blessed. And then we're even more so blessed because of those spiritual blessings that He gives us. Many times I believe we become complacent in our lives to realize the value of those spiritual blessings that we have. We went and talked to what they call a certified financial planner, Bonnie and I. And the reason so, because I don't claim to know what to do like he does. He was a very professional at what he did. And I was really surprised at what he asked me first thing out of the box. He said, "Do you have insurance?" I didn't expect that. But where he was going with it was, in today's time, if you don't have insurance, there could be any one little incident that could take your savings completely away from you. And that makes a lot of sense. So it made my mind start thinking a little bit more differently. And it was a questionnaire thing you fill out. Number one, do you have insurance? And so that to me was something that I learned real quick was there to protect your value. And so we find out in this life today is I'm going to ask a question. What's the most valuable thing that you feel like you have going on in your life today? If you list it, is it all the physical things that you have in your life? No. It's the spiritual life that we have through Jesus Christ. And I ask you this afternoon, what are you doing to protect that? What's your insurance spiritually for you to protect that great blessing that you have in your life? And we find out so many times that we get complacent in our lives and we see that there are things that we need to do in our lives that we continue to maintain and protect those blessings. And if you ask the question to yourself, well, today, you know, I feel very faithful. I believe that I'm maintaining those blessings. And I want to tell you, I have seen a lot of Christians that had that attitude that left the church. And I'm not saying you are. I'm saying it has happened. I've got a lesson in my Bible, in an old Bible that I have, one of the best lessons that I have ever heard, saving your own. It was talking about a man saving his own family, teaching them the gospel. Saving your own. And it was taught by a man who left the church. So we can see that it affects many people, this world does. And there's a lot of things that we take for granted many times that we need to do in our lives that we don't to protect those things. It's a fight. The Bible teaches that it's going to be a fight. That's going to be a battle. That there's things that you need to do to put on the whole armor. That you're going to be going through warfare. You're going to be talking about Satan here a little bit in this lesson. You'll be getting into a little bit of part of Brandon's lesson to blend a little bit on a few scriptures of what he was talking about. And the biggest thing, it's funny, it didn't do this on purpose, it's accident, but it's talking about truly our biggest thing that we will find is the lies that Satan will throw at you in the Word, him twisting it around and getting into your spiritual life. And you will find out many times that it will attack you. To start with, let's look at spiritual blessings that Jesus gave you. You know, when you think about it and you go back to the church and think about the church, Matthew 16:18, I say unto you, also unto you, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We see here in 1 Peter 2:5, Peter saying, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house in the holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. To start with, we find out that the church here is a great spiritual blessing, an institution that we are part of. Not the church building that we're sitting at here today, but the church that Jesus established when he died on the cross. We find out that we are a part of that also as far as just the individual Christian. As a lively stone built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. This is a great blessing that we're part of, to be able to be a part of this institution. A wonderful blessing. More spiritual blessings from Jesus. John 14:1, you know, when you think about the church and what he built and we are being part of that church, we can continue to go on and figure out also that one day, this life that we know as we live in this lifetime of as a Christian, that we are part of, there is going to be a time of reward. In John 14:1, it says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there you may be also. We see here in the scriptures and find out our Heavenly Father has provided a home there that Jesus is speaking about. It's going to have many mansions in it, and that we're going to be a part of that. And he will come here one day, receive us, and he'll take us back to heaven. What a wonderful spiritual blessing that is. You know, the spiritual blessing of resurrection, you may ask, well, how in the world are we going to get there? Seems like a long ways off, doesn't it? You can't see it. Physically, you can't see it. That's where that faith comes in. You know, whenever we think about those mansions that we have and we read about it, and you try to get it in your mind what it's like, if we have faith in what the Bible leads our life in, we can have faith also in that area, that it will be of a great reward, of great value, that we need to maintain in this life, that we one day will have that. And how will we get there? 1 Corinthians 15 and 55. And the reason I believe I chose this part about the resurrection is that last part of the scriptures in verse 58 is the admonition that he gives us there that we are to help protect that in our lives. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? You know, when you look at that first scripture and you think about it, that is the victory against Satan right there, is he's not going to keep us in the grave. Our body will, our spirit will rise and will not be held in that grave. And that's where he's talking about. Oh, grave, where is thy sting? Where is thy victory? So it's not going to be any victory in the grave for Satan. God will raise us up. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, the labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know, when you think about that, we have so many different denominations believe that once saved, always saved. That's kind of like getting your bicycle up to the top of the hill. You can just put it in neutral and just coast from then on. And you could go out and live your life and in drunkenness and murder and do whatever you want to in this life and live the way the world, we see it today in your life, and not do anything else. It's you're saved. You're good. We find out here that also in the scriptures we learn that we are not saved by works. Brother Pat had a lesson about justification. We listened to it on the way to church this morning. And he got into that part of James. He talked also about James. He talked about works and Paul talking about works and how they don't contradict each other as far as being saved by works. But we find out in that lesson, truly, that is the grace of God. But we do have to have works that go on, spiritual works in our lives to be saved. And that's being baptized. That it is essential to salvation. So we find out in our Christian lives that we continue to look at the scriptures to see what it is in order for us to be saved, that we look at these works, we become baptized, we do those things in those areas as far as spiritual works, but truly are we done at that point? Can we just go out after that point, live our life, not maintain the things that the scriptures teaches us to do that we know that is right? And yes, some of those are works, but it's the right thing to do, that we continue to do the things in our lives that we learn that God wants us to do. We find out that we're, number one, faithful-wise, is to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why would he mention it right there, right after this area of being resurrected? Because he wants us to continue doing the things he wants us to do. The devil wants to destroy you and your spiritual blessings. You know, we can see here in 1 Peter 5 and 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You know, I think sometimes in our lives, we can get hit with some hardships or things that go on that we think we are the only one that's suffering from this. We find out here that right off he says the other brethren in the world is going through the same things. The same temptations, the same pains, the same hardships, the problems that we as humans face every day. And we can see the first part of this verse, to be sober, a moderate way of thinking. Not to be too high, not to be too low, poor pitiful me, or being arrogant, But be vigilant also, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I love the way Brandon explained being destroyed. And he used that tornado as an example. I believe that is a very good thought of what God is, is what the devil wants to be putting you into hell of being like. Completely 100% destroyed. And here it's talking about in this lifetime, he's seeking who he can devour. And you know, if you think about a lion and what they can do and devour in this example, the devil is powerful. And that's a good example using the animal of the lion. We see here that we must fight the good fight of faith to protect our spiritual blessings. It's not going to be get on your bike and strive and get up the hill and put it in neutral and coast. It's going to be a continuation. It's going to be a fight. We see here it says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, where unto thou art also called and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. You know, when you said, yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that's the beginning. That is the beginning of a Christian life that's going to be full time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for the rest of our lives until we pass on. So spiritual warfare is going to be part of that. And when we think about that, it is something that we as Christians must and require weapons and armor as a Christian. And the Bible talks about that. It talks about putting on armor and looking at it as warfare and using weapons. Weapons of God Almighty. That's something that I believe that so many times we as Christians, we forget about. That we don't remember that God raised his Son from the dead and took him to heaven. He put him on the cross for us. He loves us. He wants the best for us. And he's going to give us the things, the items that we need to fight this warfare. Not going to put us here on this earth and just let us go on about our way without help. We would be completely vulnerable. We would be devoured. 2 Corinthians 10:4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I love these scriptures here talking about this. When you think about strongholds, you think about, and that stronghold there, if you translate it, is some of the castles and the fortresses. You know, many years ago, then they would protect their riches, which is mostly then gold. And in those strongholds, castles and areas of being locked down was completely protected. Very strong, very hard to get to. We see here, talking about the weapons of our warfare, not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. If there's a stronghold in your life that needs to be pulled down, you think about this. It reminds me of putting a chain with a tractor and hooking onto it and pulling it down. And whenever you see this here, that we can do it through God, that it's mighty, we need to take that into our mind and our hearts and know that it's there. That in times of need, we use it. Next scripture, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I've had to use this many times in my life because there's imaginations that need to be cast down and every high thing that exalteth itself against God. And then you bring into captivity every thought. You think about that, bringing into captivity, grabbing hold, catching every thought is that you look at it, and you ask the question, is it right or wrong? If it's wrong, we've got to strive and filter these things out in our lives and toss it out and get rid of it and think about those things that are right. We see in these mindsets that we can get into, a lot of big cycles that we get into. We've heard of people, let's say, for example, a ball player talking about, man, I'm in a slump. He hadn't hit a ball in the longest. I'm just in a slump. And, you know, we may get into our lives that way, that we get into a slump. What is it that you think about? What is it that you need to do in order to get out of that slump as far as thought process, as far as being complete obedience to Christ, like this says? There's a lot of feel-good books out there that we can read, dozens of them, from every kind of doctor to pep rally coach, thousands of things that we can read. Some people use different methods. Some use a lot of counseling to get them in the right frame of mind. But if we read these scriptures truly in our lives and we make these applications in our life and we be strong and faithful to these applications, it tells us here that this is what we need to be doing, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. and we bring our thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We can find out we can through it through the weapons that are mighty through God. Besides weapons, we need the whole armor of God. If you think about any war, especially a war that was fought hand-to-hand combat, like they did back in the days from whenever all the way up and pretty much till now, a lot of push-button war. But in those days and times, if you think about the days that that was written, you have a sword in your hand, you're going to need to protect your body, or spears or arrows. You're wanting to protect your body from those flying things that's coming at you. Ephesians 6, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." You know, we see here to be strong at the beginning in verse 10 in the power of his might is to start off is, again, acknowledging that God has that power that he can give you, and to look at this as putting on the whole armor. We think about an armor that we can put on and to fight that war and be protected. We can do the same thing spiritually. And it breaks down everything that we need. You know, we can look at these things and see what we need. Use the whole armor of God. It says here, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." And I've got some of the areas that we want to focus on that's underlined here. We're going to break some of these down and look at some scriptures pertaining to those. "About with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." You know, people could relate with that. There was a warfare going on then that they needed to protect their body. Can you imagine when a man's getting ready to go out in battle, he's putting on his bootstraps and he's tying them up tight. How many times have you gone out and put on a new pair of shoes that just gives you confidence? I know as a kid, I'd go buy what they called then just some cheap Track Kings or Pia Flyers, and I'd tie them tight and I could run and jump a lot further than I could before. It just gave you the confidence. But you know, you take a man in warfare and he's tightening up those boots, he's getting into his uniform as far as his armor to go to war. You talk about the breastplate of righteousness. You think about that. You know, from here to here, with the organs involved, the heart and all the organs had to be protected. One blow to that area and you're done. You know, you think about the part where it talks about the shield. And I guess a metal type shield. Metallurgy was very strong at that time. Brass and gold and silver. So they were able to make things that would block those things as far as fiery darts. Think about a fiery dart. I mean, they're blowing past you. I don't know how fast the speed. An arrow probably lit on fire. It's going to hurt. It would kill you. And so you're blocking those things. A helmet of salvation. Think about protecting the head, the mind. You know, whenever you have a helmet of salvation, we see how important it is to take care of the maintenance that we need to do, brethren, in our lives for the valuable spiritual life, the spiritual blessings. When you cover your head, one blow to the head, physically you're done. I can remember one time, and I've been hit on the head more than once. I took a parasailing accident and run into a boat head on. And it threw the boat 6 foot out in the water, peeled the light right off the bow of the boat, threw one lady that was standing on the bow of the boat 6 foot on the other side of the boat, head on with my head. Knocked me out for 2 or 3 seconds. I wished I had a helmet on, but I didn't. Bicyclers today, you see them riding a bicycle, don't you? They got helmets on. Very smart. I've heard of a doctor's son back home where I live. One fall with the bike, hit the curb, killed him. So protecting your head is very, very important. Here we see the helmet of salvation. God is using these for a reason, that people can relate with it. And it's still important today for us to realize that we need the whole armor that protects us when we're fighting Satan in our lives and protect the blessings we're given. Loins girt about with truth. If you think about that and look at the part about loins girt about, it sounded strange to me, the wording. You know, girt is a belt. So really in the day and time, if you think about that, you're tightening up the belt in the girt, loins is the hip area. But if you're wearing a long robe in those days too, and you pull up the road and you're cinching it down, you don't want to fall over it if you're running. Well, you're putting yourself into action. He's saying you go into action with this. Loins girt about with truth. And if you think about that here in John 1:14, it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus was about truth, like Brother Brandon brought in his lesson. When you heard words from Jesus, you knew it was the truth. Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So we see salvation, and our faith is in the truth. And when we girt our loins about with truth, we're saying to ourselves, we are tightening our belt up. We're getting ready to fight Satan and all the lies and the things that he tells us. Things like, you got enough time. Things like, I'm worthless. Things like, whatever's going on in your life that you can't do. I can't do that. You know, I'm not any good. I can't do what he does. We get to comparing. There's so many things that we throw in our lives that we just think, well, it's, you know, that's just the way it is. But you know, it's not. We're not to be defeated in this, in the truth. We're to dig in and dig our heels in and find out what truth is. And the Bible is there for us to read and learn what that truth is. We're going to look at some other scriptures here and talks about the truth in a moment. But that's what we're going towards in this lesson, brethren, is taking that armor and breaking it down and see what we need to apply in our lives that we continue to protect our spiritual blessings. Learn the truth so we are approved of God. Study to shew thyself approved to God, unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So it's not difficult. If we can take a Bible and we can read it and read those scriptures, maybe get a Strong's and break down some of the Hebrew and Greek, depending on where we're at, and we see those translations and we make the applications, we can see that this is truth. We can understand the gospel, the simplicity of it. So when the world attacks and Satan attacks and puts those little things in your ear that may creep in and say, you know what? Maybe I just need to slide on that and let, you know, that be what we do. Well, no, we don't. We don't need to slide on anything when it comes to God's word. Don't let Satan throw those little lies in there. The breastplate of righteousness, part of that armor we talked about a moment ago that was spoken about. When you think about the breastplate of righteousness protecting the heart area, let's look at Romans 3:23 here. It starts off, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus Christ." So we find out who the justifier is, and we can be justified just because of Jesus Christ. We find out that the righteousness speaking of here, the faith that we have in our lives, the just that we have in our lives, is because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We can see here that it says, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. And that word simply means to appease, in order to appease. And that's what God wanted to be able to do through His Son. And you know, when we think about this, that when it was all of us who put His Son on the cross and the sins that we have, there's going to be one day that God's going to come back and make judgment on everybody. And that anger and that wrath will come then. But there had to be an appeasement for that. And that was Christ had to die and put those sins on the cross. So we can see because of that and through that blood and through that death that we can be just. Those sins was laid on Jesus. And many times I believe that we don't define that in our lives. That many times that we can see that possibly we just kind of point the finger and, well, you know, I didn't live in those times and put Jesus on the cross. Maybe I didn't nail the nails in His hand or put the thorns on His head or spit on Him or declared Him to be on that cross to start with. Maybe I wasn't involved in any of that. But it was our iniquities. It was all of our iniquities that put him there. So we are part of that, whether we like it or not. That is why Jesus went to the cross and died for our sins. That a whole world could be just because of that. And those who are obedient could be just. Breastplate of righteousness. The feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We were talking a moment ago about the feet and the putting on new shoes and giving you the confidence to do that. You know, foot gear we need for every job. If we're a rancher, we need some good boots to go out there and take care of jobs we need to do. If we're running track, we need the right shoes. Feet shod and foot gear is important. Satan wants us to believe, though, in our lives, that when it comes to the gospel of peace, that it's just a lost cause, that we can't do it. That, no, they won't listen to us. I don't have the time. I can't do that. I'm not, you know, maybe brushed up on the scriptures enough to do that. For whatever reason that we put in there that we're not worthy to go and do the job that we have been given to be done. But God gives us the proper foot gear, brethren. He gives us the motivation to continue. And it's through the peace of the gospel, the good news. Romans 10. Let's look, see what it says here. 15 through 17. And how shall they preach except they be sent? It is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know, whenever you're teaching and you present the gospel, it's going to be something we can do with motivation and we can teach it. And the people who are listening to that, they may be obedient to it or not. We, years ago, had given some lessons and some studies at the time at Bridgeport and sat down with a couple and studied and went through everything and they were baptized. And that was the last time we seen them. It's happened a few times. Not all the time, but it does happen. So don't be discouraged when those things happen. There's going to be a point in our lives that we have to understand that we will take the gospel, that we'll do our part to bring it to those who need to hear. And it's going to be between them and God and their faith and us helping, trying to bring them up. But it's on them if they're going to be faithful enough to stay with it. And we find out many times people become discouraged when it don't work for them. Possibly, and they just pull back and say, you know, I can't do that anymore. And it shouldn't be that way. We must just present it, and we move on. And at that point, we can find out if those folks are sincere, and they haven't believed in vain and are eager to learn, they're going to. And sometimes they will not. So let's not let the things be a discouragement to us. The preparation of the gospel of peace, we need to have this attitude that our feet are shod, that we can just continue to be faithful and continue to strive, be steadfast to take it to others to listen to. The shield of faith. We see here in Romans 10, 17, so then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You know, faith is says here, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. You know, faith is such a big part of the armor that we continue to remember what was preached to us the first time that we believed the gospel. That we knew that Jesus Christ went on that cross, that he died for our sins. And that we continue to believe that, that we use it to help us go into a working faith in our lives. And use it as a shield. In Colossians 2 and 5 it says, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order, and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in them, rooted and built up in him. And established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. You know, we're starting to see a little bit why he listed the shield of faith, aren't we? We're seeing some of those fiery darts being fired. The things that we are to to block away out of our lives the philosophy, the vain deceit, the tradition of men, the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Things that are being thrown at us that don't need to hit us and go into our hearts. We need to block Satan's fiery darts. It blocks anything that comes between you and God. Blocks out worldliness, brethren, faith will. And it helps us to really truly know when we have a shield in front of us and we think about the word and the truth to help protect those blessings. It helps us to realize what the ultimate victory is and what our ultimate goal is. And that is heaven. The helmet of salvation. Isaiah 52:7 says, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publish peace, that bringeth good tidings of good and publish salvation. And that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God." We can see here in talking about salvation, we need to protect it. We need to protect our minds, brethren, about salvation. And remember that Jesus died on that cross continually in our lives. In Isaiah 53:1, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" In 53:6 it says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." This is a scripture that I had mentioned a moment ago. When we get the attitude, brethren, of kind of dividing ourselves or pulling ourselves away from the thought of not being involved in Jesus being on that cross, but we can see here in the scripture that the Lord hath laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. Can you imagine laying on your son the responsibility that God laid on Jesus? It's just there is nothing that we can do that will be anything in this lifetime as severe as that. Putting all the sins of the world onto one man's lap there and him having that burden. When you think about a helmet of salvation, we can read here in Acts 4:12, it says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." It is truly through Jesus Christ that salvation is for us to follow. 2 Timothy 3:14, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, and knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." We see here in Timothy, when he's talking about salvation, that the steadfastness and the continuance that's involved by him saying, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and being assured of." It's like Paul speaking to his brethren, saying, "I declare to you the gospel, which you've been saved, which you stand in." We see a continuance and remembrance put into our minds about these spiritual blessings, about our salvation. Romans 10:16 says, "But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Verse 20, "But Esaias is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel, he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people." We see here when it comes to salvation that not all are going to be possibly like what you did in your life by accepting Christ when the gospel was taught to you. There's going to be some of those who, whatever reasons in their lives, they say no. You know, whether it's pride or whether it's sin problem that they'd rather do, they're not going to commit to something that they're going to have to stop doing a lot of times in their life. And that's a commitment that we all make. And there's usually a lot of issues that why people say no. But with God's word, we find out that we can get through those issues, that we can continue to teach this. Not all are going to say yes to the gospel. Some will. And that's the ones that we want to reach. Those that will. You know, the sword of the Spirit, when you think about an armor in war, sometimes like in anything, if you're playing defense, that's a good way to play the game. But there's sometimes you got to play offense. And here, a sword, you think about that, you're playing offense. There's a time for offense in the spiritual life. The sword of the Spirit, God's word. And it's taking the word to the person. So John 1 and 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hebrews 4 and 12, we learn for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know, if you're studying with someone and you're teaching the gospel to someone, and they have those sin problems in their lives, or whatever things in their lives they enjoy they'd rather do, when you preach God's word and you don't have your little opinions in there, you're just teaching God's word, it's going to go into the heart. We find out right here it's going to pierce, that it is going to make its way in there. And whether they admit it or not, it is. Their conscience is thinking about God's word. And it will convict. And it will soften the heart. And if not so, then that person that is reading it is completely prideful and is, may not bend in their lives, but they're fighting it. God's word did penetrate, and it's going to work. I don't know the minds and the... excuse me here. I think one or two more scriptures. Had a pause in it there. We find out, whenever we have used the sword of the Spirit, that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So we see in the scriptures that we can use this throughout all our lives. After we become Christians, that we continue to find out how we correct our lives, how we have the instruction in righteousness, and look at the things that are profitable for us to continue living our Christian life. You know, as you read at the end of talking about the armor, that Paul continues to say some things there that is, to me, is very powerful. And what's to me, too, is so powerful about it is that he's talking about what we are going to be fighting in the warfare that we're in, and the fact that we're fighting Satan in our lives and we need all this equipment. And then even after all that, and we have the armor on, and we're fighting continually in our lives, that at the end he says, be prayerful and watchful. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. It is going to be a fight. And it's not a fight against a physical thing that you can grab hold of. It's a fight against principalities, spiritual wickedness, and things of this world that we fight, which is Satan. And it is not always in a things of nature of a bottle or a drug problem or just something that what we consider somebody really has a sin problem in their lives. Where it can sneak in is the arrogance, the pride, the things that we know as Christians that can enter our lives, that Satan will throw those lies in there and say, you're okay. But yet you're really not. But yet we believe we are. Have you ever gone through this life where you're so blind and you have something going on that you need to really change, and somebody finally comes to you and you say, you know what? You're doing this and it really hurts. Or you've said this or done that and you're completely blind of it. And that's the way I think we get in this life, is we put blinders on to help obscure the visual that we have in our life of us being wrong. And you know, that's where we need to change our lives many times, is making those changes by putting on the armor, by fighting with prayer and watchfulness, that we don't fall into complacency as a Christian. Many times that I can't fall. I'm strong. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. In all reality, we have been for a while. So if there's any application for you, brethren, today that you need to change in your lives, and you have spiritual blessings in your lives that you need to protect them, be watchful, be prayerful, take care of those, because it is of great value. It's the most important thing that you have going on in your life, is Christ, the blood that was shed, the spiritual blessings of the church that we made mention of, the spiritual blessing of you being a lively stone and being part of that built up church. The spiritual blessings of resurrection, the spiritual blessings as we're recapping, knowing that when we're resurrected that we will have that mansion with Jesus, the final home, a beautiful home. No crying, no hurting, no pain, no more sorrow, no more wondering what's going to go on next day in life. You know, we just have so many times things that try our faith. And one day, that faith is going to take you to heaven in that mansion where you cannot have to worry about those things any longer.